Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Woo. Presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo. It's a party, baby.
By Michelob Ultra. He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. No Joshy DiMaggio. He was at a concert last night, drank 1,000 Mick Ultras, and is not at work today. Now, I'll give him credit. He took the day off in advance.
Give him a round of applause.
Homer, why are you beside yourself?
Yeah, actually,
right now?
Homer, grab a mic right now. I really want your perspective on this.
I love that face here.
Grab a mic. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. On stream, on Twitter, at ScalzoneBrust, to see a disheveled old man.
Whoa.
It's 4 o'clock. He went to a concert last night, and he takes today off.
Well, he took it off in advance, in his defense. He didn't wake up and say, oh, I can't work today. He took the day off knowing he was going to drink 1,000 Michelob Ultras. And so, yeah.
You don't think he could come in and work at 4 o'clock?
Well, we've actually seen him work after concerts, and it's better that he don't show up.
Homer, there was
And I mean that in a nice way, Josh.
There was one time where it was a 3 days removed from him having a big night where we looked at him and we're like, you're still not fit to be in here and to be part of society.
How many days?
This was day 3.
Yeah.
He went out on a Saturday night. Sunday, he said, was brutal. Monday was brutal. And then Tuesday was like...
No, it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because it was an 8 a.m. Monday morning
that's
meeting.
That's right. We used to have an 8 a.m. standing Monday morning meeting.
He took it in his underwear.
Laying down on his couch.
No camera.
It's the definition of a problem.
This is the canvas in which your likeness will be displayed for the remainder of Josh DiMaggio's life.
Yeah? You're going to live on his body. For those who miss it, Homer's getting a tattoo.
Fine.
Josh is getting a tattoo of Homer.
Yeah. So this is where your legacy is going to live.
Every time he says, I got a Scalzo and Brust tattoo, he's got to say, and I got a Homer tattoo also.
He's going to be telling people at 3 a.m. at a fish concert.
Yes.
If I could pay somebody $1,000 to get a tattoo of me on there, I would do it too. I thought that was a great investment and move too. And it wasn't paying
He's not here, right, so I can tell you the truth.
It was the donation.
No. Okay. He doesn't know. And Gabe can mention I've donated 1,000 before, and so I thought
I'm going to do it anyway.
You hadn't done it yet.
No, I hadn't done it yet.
Oh, perfect. Well, part of it was because I like to help people that need help. Well, Gabe's now got all these other people, and he's raising this and doubling this, and so he didn't really need it. So I, I was thinking, then I heard about the tattoo, and I go, ha!
There's my end.
Nobody's got a home. Who, if you're old like me, who wouldn't love to have other people have a Homer tattoo and I don't have to have one? It's out there in the world.
It's like having another child.
Not exactly, but there's...
I don't know. I don't understand the comparison. But...
Well, I'm just saying, now if Josh has a tattoo of Homer, then maybe somebody else will then be inspired to have a Homer tattoo and like we can just keep Homer's legacy going beyond blood.
I know there's no thought of that, but it's a... I'm assuming it's one and done.
Well, Josh DiMaggio, one and done. He's back tomorrow.
Now, you two have to agree to never bring up the fact.
Oh, we won't. He's listening right now.
No way. Yeah, listening. 100% he's
listening.
Wait
a minute. He's good enough to listen. It's 8 hours.
He just didn't want to wake up this morning and have to come into work. He was at String Cheese Incident last night, so if you know anything about the band.
I got bamboozled.
Is that what he said?
From Joshy.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't telling the truth. I just made that up just because.
Oh, man.
Yep. Don't feel bad. Yeah. Well, no. It tells him that I trust him as being a man of integrity.
Yeah,
he could easily come on and go, Homer, just use me. I'm not doing it.
He's excited to get the tattoo.
Yeah.
He's excited. The fact that he's going to have the old baby on it, it's not like, oh no, I have to get this. Like, I think he's excited to have a Homer tattoo.
It's not like he's going to have like a portrait of you in his house. Like, you know,
he's not going to get his 2023 Bucks NBA champion tattoo. So, he's got a little bit of extra room on the canvas.
He's not backing out according to text messages.
Well, that's good. He's doing better than the Bucks.
That is true.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Where do you rank that? So I insist that it's comparable to that 2014 NFC championship.
Yeah, not in terms of the importance of the game, but the point of going all these things that they had to screw up to lose. And they did them all. And then there was another one. And then there was another one. And then there was another one.
It's hard to consistently continue to screw up in ways that they did, in which one more play, right? One more free throw. Like, just one more.
No, I wish I was the owner of the team. Because I'd have fired Bud at the end of regulation. Tony says I'm wrong. I've never seen a team that had a timeout left and that little
in a half
time,
second.
Well, it'd be,
and the
if
two
it was,
tallest, biggest guys on the court.
Right. But if it was like 3 seconds or something, enough where you try to rush up the floor before they can set up. But with down to that, to not call timeout, sorry, you're done. About some things, you can be perfect. Just leave now and then have the assistance.
Especially for the king of use it or lose it, because he can't take that timeout.
That's the thing, is there was an article written heading into the playoffs or even early in the playoffs about how Bud consistently uses his timeouts in a certain way. And I don't know what got away
from the whole team.
I don't think he knew. He didn't know. And that means that if he has an assistant who's in charge of that, he's fired. Because I can't believe Bud wouldn't have done that.
It's if he's fired, I think Charles Lee is the primary head coach who's being looked at for a lot of different jobs.
Yeah,
so.
No, I would hire the guy. If you're going to replace Bud, you got to hire a guy who's won a title. That's the guy who was in.
But here's
you're
the thing.
You're talking about Nick Nurse from Toronto.
Yeah. How can you get rid of Bud? Because he won a title.
He did.
And they've been good. And
They've been good. They've been great.
Yeah.
He's built a great team and great culture. And I know today is the day where we can point out all the flaws. But like, at a macro level, he's done a very good job with the Bucks. I'm not saying that'll save him. But I think that at a macro level, you look at what he's accomplished and the way that those players respond to him and like, there's a lot there that would tell me he's coming back.
And that's why, from your perspective of, if I was the owner, I would go down to regulation before overtime and fire him. You got to remember, I think what Bud has been able to do in terms of building the culture and character of this team, you got to make sure that Giannis, like that's a conversation you have with the star player of your franchise.
It was interesting to see Giannis be somebody to say, hey, maybe we should have doubled Jimmy. Maybe we should have made some adjustments.
Yeah, we call those a Roger. Yeah, that was a Rodgers.
Maybe we should have, you know.
You know what Tony said, and he's right. He says it's garbage. Players like Giannis can do whatever they want. All they have to do is go, when they get on the court, go, I'm guarding him. He said Magic used to do it. The top players, they can do whatever they want.
Oh, Giannis shouldn't be guarding Jimmy.
I was going to say, I understand that's a possibility, and a lot of people are clamoring for that, but I don't think that
well, he did guard him, and the success they had before against him was with Giannis guarding him. They held him to 38 points in four games.
It was 48. 38 points per game for Jimmy Butler during this series.
I guess it's hard
to
believe.
98 points combined in game 4 and 5.
When they played before and swept him, he scored 48 in four games.
And what it's hard for me to be like, you know what? Actually, I don't believe in that idea because at this point, any idea would have probably been a little bit better. You know, try something.
800-990.
But like I'm saying, I was going to make an argument that, you know, I don't know if putting Giannis on Jimmy would have been a good idea. But then I'm like, wait a second. Think about how this went down.
Well, and all that we talked about, how great the depth was. What's the point of making those moves? I'm sure because you're not going to use him in the playoffs anyway.
Honestly, I think it hurt him at times.
I know he, but they're he doesn't.
Too many players.
That's how
they didn't have a true rotation.
Well, I mean, that's what he's got to figure out in the regular season. But nobody.
But they had injuries that affected that as well. Chris Middleton was out, and so Drew played a lot, and like other guys got opportunities. And then when Chris got his minutes back, the rotation just it never felt like they had a rhythm as a team ever again.
This feels like the 2014 Packers loss because there's so many areas. If you ask where did it go wrong, you could point to so many things. You could point to the free throw shooting, particularly around Giannis. You could point to the decision to have Drew make the second free throw after he missed the first one. Surprisingly, he makes both of those, then it's a whole nother situation. I mean, there's a million little things. You're
well,
right, Homer.
No,
you can
and
look
the
at
challenge.
They
the
didn't
challenge.
Have anything going with 4 seconds left.
If they
left.
Don't have a challenge left to use, the Bucks win the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's something where I guess I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of challenges, but you should never, ever, 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 in an NBA basketball game where we see the amount of runs that these teams could go on, you should never use it unless there's 4 or 3 minutes
left. He used one like
3 minutes
into the game. No, that what I wanted, I don't know, can they, could they, if they had had one, challenged the Jimmy Butler foul
Absolutely.
That he scored?
Well, no, you couldn't actually because you can't challenge a non-call. There has to be a call made in order for you to challenge it. You can't, if there's no call made, then you can't challenge it, which again, I think is a flawed system of the replay, but as it's written up right now, you can't do that.
But also, I really do wonder if it would have been overturned. Like
it would have been. It was a clear two-hand push-off foul.
And it's all about extension of your arms. It's the same way on an offensive charge.
It was poorly played by the team, though. Pat was up. Like, if you're going to switch, you go right to the body right away.
Right.
You don't give Jimmy an opportunity to even get a jump off. You go to the body before you can jump.
Doesn't matter.
It's a switch automatic. I don't care if Brooks out there or not.
Fine. Doesn't matter. They get screwed. Cost them the game.
Well, I wouldn't say
that. What do you mean? Watch that play and tell me that's not an obvious foul.
They put themselves in a position
correct.
To
All
get
that.
Screwed.
Correct. Everything. However.
It's a foul.
They win the game.
Correct.
All right. I rest my case.
Thank you, Homer.
Bye.
Giannis said the season wasn't a failure. We'll hear what he said, and Ben Brust will tell you what he thinks about Giannis' comments. Next, it is Galso and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. Chris Larson on the ones and twos. A little shakedown street here on a Grateful Dead Thursday. Ben Brust, Greg Scalzo. No Joshy DiMaggio. After 1,000 Michelob Ultras last night. It's a bummer for him because he's missing out on some delicious Palermo's pizza. We got the stuffed crust pepperoni going here. We've got some barbecue chicken sausage that is delicious as well. Part of the Urban Pies family. It is a good day to cook up some Palermo's pizzas. Get ready. Turn on the draft. Drown your sorrows with some Mick Ultra. And boom, you got yourself an NFL draft round one night.
And the best news is we're going to have John Leonardo join us a little bit later in the program. And they have some new Screaming Sicilian items that are going to be, you know, coming to you very soon. Very top secret. And so we're going to be breaking some Screaming Sicilian news a little bit later in the program.
Before we get into the Giannis cut and hear what he had to say post-game, let's welcome Jake in Milwaukee and Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. Jake, what do you got?
Hi, guys. I have a question about the NFL draft tonight. Cool. Now, I know the rumors are that they would consider drafting a wide receiver, a tight end, or an offensive lineman, or left tackle specifically. In your guys' opinion, what do you think? What direction do you think Goody and the Packers are going to do with that first pick in the first round 13th pick?
I think the board is really interesting because you're going to have basically a top 10 pick if three quarterbacks end up going in the top 10, with them being 13. They have a lot of needs. Like, I don't like the narrative right now that
Packer fans are creating for themselves, it's setting themselves up for disappointment. The wide receiver, tight end scenario. It's not something the Packers have, as an organization, have traditionally done. They've developed wide receivers in the later rounds. They've developed tackles in the later rounds. Using a using the 13th pick for a tight end just makes me squirm a little
bit. So historically, in the Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst era, the Packers have prioritized five positions considerably. Quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive line, edge, and cornerback. Those five positions, 15 of the last 19 first-round picks and 16 of the last 20, if you include Kevin King, who is the first pick of the second round, have all been those five positions. So only four outliers on that. Two of those were safeties. Two of those were inside linebackers.
I lean position group right now, safety, in a weird way.
I don't think there's a chance they take a safety at 13, because it'd be Brian Branch, and I don't think Branch fits what they like in safeties. Branch out of Alabama feels more like a do-everything slot corner slash safety. I would be surprised if they went safety at 13. I'm not saying you're wrong. There's a possibility they
trade back
and potentially could add somebody in the secondary. I think when I look at what they do at 13, if they hold Pat, I know people aren't going to like it. It's offensive line, it's edge, or if you get somehow a Jalen Carter slip down or defensive lineman that slips down, I could see him doing that. But to me, that's where
I think slip down. The slide back, the slip down, what is it?
I don't know.
Slides back in the draft, you fall back.
What did I say? Slip down?
Slip down.
It all works, you know.
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
I know. I'm not, I just, like, it was kind of fun to think of, like, what's the right word for somebody who's falling back in the draft, and maybe that's it, falling back. I don't know, that's boring. Like I said.
Slides down?
I just don't think that people should prepare themselves for the tight end position. And honestly, is a tight end really going to make you that excited? Right? Like just think about it. How many picks at 13 that are tight end have turned out to be somebody who, like, you're like, this guy has been a 15-year pro, a first-round tight end. Like, the odds of hitting that don't feel worth it for me to take that gamble at that position.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We'll certainly get back to some draft talk, but the Bucs season ended in terribly disappointing fashion last night. We can continue to recount all the different things that happened, but one of the big stories coming out of the game and following the season-ending loss for the Bucs, the first team as a number one seed to lose in five games of a seven-game series to an eight seed in the first round of the NBA playoffs, your Milwaukee Bucs last night. So the disappointment was there, but Giannis, following the game, was asked this question by Eric Name and responded in this way when asked if it was a failure of a season.
Do you view this season as a failure?
You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay. Do you get the promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, provide the house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success. You know, and if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championship. The other 9 years was a failure. That's what you're telling me. I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful. Some days you're not. Some days it's your turn. Some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball. You know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one. Hopefully we can win another one.
Look, I appreciate Giannis's candor. I understand that it's a impossible situation to be a star in the league and have to answer questions about failing when you're a one seed losing to an eight on your home court in your city, the one that you built
and help your team win a championship. But I just texted MJ during Giannis's conversation right there that we just listened to, and MJ said, yes, I failed the 9 seasons I didn't win a championship.
Marcus gave you his number?
Jeffrey did.
Jeffrey did?
Even though he's in a little bit of trouble right now, I think. Regardless.
Could you just go with Marcus?
Yeah, huh? I could. I always just screw it up when it could be easy for me. I don't care about steps to success right now. I really don't. I don't care about the comparison of 50 years of failures for the Bucks or if they were building towards something. What I saw was a team that all we heard about is when they got the number one seed, the path to play the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the winner of that game was going to win the championship. And that is how the Milwaukee Bucks approached that entire series. They looked ahead. He even mentioned it later on in the press conference. I don't care about perspective. Everyone's like, what a perspective. Perspective? We're talking about perspective? This is professional freaking sports. This is the NBA. This is about hanging banners. This is a business. And fans have every right to be upset in which the way they lost. And so it's hard for me I love Giannis. Everyone loves Giannis. He's an unbelievable person. He's an unbelievable player. But it was a colossal failure. It was a disaster. The series was embarrassing, to be quite honest. It was. The way in which they lost leads, the way in which they closed out games, the way in which they got out. Greg, we texted each other at the exact same time.
We did text each other.
They got bullied. And whether you think, the word bullied could mean a lot. To me, Jimmy Butler came in there and put Drew Holiday in his pocket. And everyone's like, oh, Drew's back. He's chirping Jimmy. No, that's not Drew. Drew beats everybody by being the silent assassin that he is. Jimmy had Drew right where he wanted him. He was kicking his ass. And Drew didn't have an answer. And the Bucks didn't have an answer. They didn't try different things. So I don't care about perspective because the core of Drew, Brooke, Giannis, and Chris, maybe no longer. We don't know. But in terms of an opportunity as a number one seed with championship DNA, it is nothing but a failure.
I think that it's great. It's a good, healthy attitude for Giannis to have. Now, I think that we're
both can be true.
I agree. I think we're conflating. I think he's conflating this idea of the organization's not a failure. Giannis isn't a failure.
Correct.
The player's not a failure. The team itself isn't a failure. The season was the failure. So if he wants to make the work comparison, if you have an initiative at work and it bellies up and loses the company money and is a disaster and fails, that's a failure. It doesn't mean you are a failure at your job. It doesn't mean that the company's a failure. But that initiative, that thing in itself, you can call a failure and you can learn from failures. You shouldn't be scared of failing if you can learn from it and get better from it. I just think that he took it in a different way, and a lot of people are applauding him, but I agree. I think you're lying to yourself if you say, I don't know how else you would describe that season other than, was it a successful season that ended too early? You were the odds-on favorite to win the title, and you
lost. It steps to success.
And you lost in 5 games to the Heat, and that's okay. This organization is a failure. They're championship organization with a championship culture, with an MVP championship-level player, and this season they fell short.
I think it's a good thing that the question is being asked, right? Milwaukee Bucks fans would be clamoring to have a playoff series in which at the end, where they lost in the first or second round, was this season a success or was this a failure? And then no, not really. We got to a place we hadn't been before. The question is holding the Milwaukee Bucks to a championship-level caliber. And that's why I think the question is okay, and that's why I think it's okay to look at the season as a failure.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Let's go to Dan in Sheboygan. Dan, welcome to Scalzo and Russell, presented by Mick Ultra. What do you got?
I mean, in terms of the series, was an absolute failure. They went 1-4. It's not like the Packers where you lose one playoff game. They played 5 playoff games. They won 1. You lost every game Giannis started. I mean, that's just... No, yeah. There are no adjustments by Coach Bud. How about you knock Jimmy Butler down? How about you have somebody Dick Butler, knock him down. Thanasis or Crowder or somebody. I don't care if they get thrown out of the game. I don't care if he gets suspended for the rest of the season. Somebody knock him on his butt.
Hey, I'm actually kind of with Dan. I called for a Grayson Allen flagrant foul yesterday.
Thank you for the call. No, I don't think that's the right way to go about it.
I'm not saying they definitely could have made it more physical.
Yeah, they could have.
They definitely could have made life way more hell.
They could have made Haywood and Struce beat them a little bit more. I mean, hell, Gabe Vincent put up 30 though. Like, what do you? Ugh. Ron and the Key, welcome to Scouts and Ross, presented by Mick Ultra. What do you got?
Okay, so a few things. I'll try to be fast.
She said,
first of all, obviously, we know I prefer to troll. I'd like to troll Eric. I like you. Delayed. Good work, Chris. I prefer to troll Eric, but in this case, I absolutely respect him because let's face it, Giannis, you know, puts food on Eric's plate. Like, it is not every reporter that is going to ask that question of Giannis in that situation at that point. So I respect Eric for it. I'm usually on the opposite side of this, but Giannis is wrong, and I agree with you guys. This is a failure. It is, again, to your point, maybe not he's a failure. But if you ask, did they succeed? No, they failed. And they failed historically bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a question. I'm also not usually on the whatever, fire Ted, fire. I'm on the fire Bud. There are inexcusable things that happened. You can't not take a timeout on a 13-0 run. You can't then not take a timeout 2 days later when it's happening again. You can't not take a timeout and advance the ball. And, oh, by the way, a lot of this is on you, Giannis. He should be emotional. He bleeped the bed. He was terrified at the end of that game. He looked like crap. Somehow, it's like I feel like I'm criticizing Aaron Rodgers when he's playing really great. Giannis put up, what, almost 40 or whatever? He was a bad player in the fourth quarter. And he was terrified to take a shot. And the two passes at the end of that game, one from Giannis after the tip, and one it was Drew that passes the ball out to Chris. Just hold the dang ball and have confidence that you're going to make a free throw.
Well,
it's also the fact that Drew made the second free throw was just dumb.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Playing it off the front of the rim.
I agree with you on that one, Rod. I think the fear for Giannis all is about the free throws. I think if he wasn't worried about going to the charity stripe, you wouldn't have seen any fear.
The problem is like Giannis is a 2-time MVP. He made, what was it, 18 of 19 or something ridiculous in the NBA Finals game 6. And so it's not like he hasn't done it before. And that's the alarming thing. When Giannis is playing hot potato, and I agree, Ron, when he shot the right sort of elbow wing 15-footer, there's no chance the thing was going in. It was like everyone on the Miami Heat were clapping when he shot it.
38-20. Hey,
no, that's just
I know.
He was clearly at a point where he was settling. Then you can't give him the ball. The guys that weren't bleeping down their legs was Wes, Pat, and Brooke. And I know that's insane. And maybe Chris did actually. Chris looked okay at times, but he's just can't. We don't have a true ball handler. Drew wanted to shoot and shouldn't. I literally would have just been like, we're going to put it in Brooke's hand.
I mean,
you're spiraling now.
Thank you, Ron. Wes, by the way, was a minus 19 in 24 minutes yesterday. His plus minus was minus 19. Brooke was minus 13 in 44 minutes, the worst of any starter. So they might not have been scared at the end of the game, but again, like, I think there's interesting perspective to it all. To use a word from Benny. 800-990-3776. If you're on the line, stay right there. We'll keep the phone lines open. We will get to you. Talking Bucks here, reacting to the loss, reacting to Giannis's comments. We'll get to some NFL draft talk a little bit later, but we'll stay in on the Bucks. So if you're on the line, stay there. If you're not, call us, text us, 800-990-3776. Hanging out here with Palermo's at the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all studios. It is Scals and Bros presented by Michelob Ultra.
Urban Pie coming right up.
Giannis Antetokounmpo
says the season was not a failure despite the early exit by the Bucks. He did say it was the worst postseason ever. Said you got 16 games you need to win. We only won one. We have 15 left to go.
Oh, man.
It's a hard way to look at it.
That's perspective.
Ben Bruss, Greg Scalzo, no Joshy DiMaggio. He recovers from the 1,000 Michelob Ultras he drank last night. Chris Larson, your cousin's up of the day. And I believe we got Alex G run the show at the ESPN Madison Studios. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Of course, that's you. The Scalzo and Bruss family, and we're going right to you. We got Nick on the north side. Welcome to Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Michelob Ultra, hanging out here with Palermo's Pizza at the Gruber Law Offices, one call, That's All Studios.
Appreciate it for taking my call, guys. This is my second time calling. The first time I called to basically tell y'all, like, we need to talk more Bucks, because y'all was basically asking, like, why do we need to have a conversation about the Bucks when this Aaron Rodgers saga is going on? This was, like, at the tail end of the season. And I'm like, because are y'all watching these games? Like, this is the just most fraudulent first seed championship team I've ever seen. Like, and the North Side has been just saying this forever. Like, the from Drew and Chris to Bud, he gotta go, man. They gotta go. And we've been saying it. Nobody's been listening to us. But yeah, man, they just
real quick, were they frauds in 2021, Nick? Were they frauds in 2021?
That's basically the same roster.
Here's the thing, and I said this last time I called. We were winning in spite of Bud because of Giannis. Giannis had 54. He had to have half the team's points for us to win it all. That's crazy.
But Bud won won a series without Giannis. He literally won the Eastern Conference Finals
Chris Middleton scoring 15 straight in the third quarter and Drew Holiday closing it out on the road.
Isn't that crazy to you, Nick?
Listen, man, it was good for one. Just how, like, we had one with Rodgers, and it was time to get rid of Mike McCarthy. And we had like 6 or 7 guys who could have been traded that were weapons. We don't need 7 weapons when our defense is right 32nd. Trade some of those guys and get Rodgers a defense. Yeah. But nope, we waited till everybody got old and left.
I think if that's your point of, hey, it's they won one and that's great, but it's time to kind of evolve the team, then that's fine. I just think you can't
go back in
history.
It's a dynasty. He's the best player in the league.
I can appreciate this perspective.
That perspective is better than, hey, Bud and Chris and Drew are all frauds, and Giannis had to carry him to a title in 2021.
They ain't frauds, but, like, if you want to reload with a little younger power, I'm okay with that.
I think that's where you
need
to be.
Absolutely super young, too. Give me Shea or give me Ant. Listen, we need superstars. We need a killer next to Giannis because he's our Shaq. We need a Kobe. That's it.
Thank you, Nick, on the north side. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. You ain't getting Anthony Edwards. Maybe you could get SGA.
Give me Dame.
Ooh.
He's kind of young. I was going to say he's old, but I love Dame.
800-990-3776. Let's go to Andy in Grafton. Andy, welcome to Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Michelob Ultra. What do you got?
I think the one thing that we as listeners or we as watchers of Giannis, we get frustrated at the fact that he doesn't have American arrogance. He's a winner. You don't get to be where he came from to where he is right now if you're not a winner. And I would assume that anything that Giannis does in his life, he's never going to look at as a failure because it was all a part of the process to get him where he is right now. So, like, when Eric Name, speaking of failures, is going to ask him the exact same question as he did last year, and everything that Giannis has
done over the course of the last year. Are you insinuating that Eric Name is a failure?
No. I'm insinuating that if Eric Name is going to question someone else's success rate or failure rate, then maybe you don't ask the exact same question that you did last year, because then where is your improvement of journalistic integrity?
Was it a good answer, Andy and Grafton, that Giannis gave?
I believe it was the exact answer of what he feels. And I feel like if someone's going to nitpick, yeah, could Giannis have played better? Of course. Is there a reality where 38-20 isn't good enough?
Andy, like, you are the nitpickers of all nitpickers. You're saying Giannis gave a great answer, but you're mad at the reporter who busts his ass every day, has a great relationship with the team and with the player, for asking the question that got a great answer. That's his whole job.
How would you asking the exact same question that you asked last year?
Who cares
about the question? It's about the answer.
No, Giannis's composure to give a good answer without showing frustration, like all other, probably LeBron would have gave a sour puss answer.
That's why he's a good reporter, because he knows the relationship and the rapport he has in order to provide that answer.
Because Giannis wouldn't have had to say, I'm not going to get personal, if it was a good question.
No, like, that's because he respects him.
Andy, just listen for a second. Eric has probably the best relationship of anybody covering the team with Giannis. And that's why Giannis was able to answer and calm himself down in that moment. And it's why Eric had the gumption to ask what I thought was actually a good, important question.
Yeah, but we're already even nitpicking Giannis's answer. Was the season a failure?
Well, it was! Andy. And he can still be a winner and then last season be a failure. I'm done.
To who?
Andy, just because you say things out loud, it does not make them true. Like, it does not make them absolute.
But, like I said before, winners don't use the word failure. Failures use the word failure.
All right. Kobe on the record after losing the finals says the season was a failure.
Winners aren't scared of failures.
Shaq said it on the post game show. Look, I love Giannis, but let's call it how it is. He was 10 for 23. How are you going to, Andy, stand here and say he did everything great? He threw the ball like a hot potato when he got it late in the game. Stop it!
I mean, the idea that winners don't ever admit failure is absurd. Like, some of the greatest, most successful people out there talk about how their failures
to succeed.
Yes, lead to success. Now, they won't say, I'm a failure. They won't say, and again, you can say that the season is a failure. Chris in O-Town, his first marriage was a failure. It doesn't mean he is a failure now,
which is a miracle.
Poor guy. Craig and Wanakee, welcome to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. What do you got, Craig? Thank you, Andy and Grafton.
We appreciate the call. That was fun.
Thanks for the call.
Just want to say, coached us to a championship in 2021, but I just think like his welcome in Milwaukee, it's just kind of over. I mean, an elite coach would have made defensive adjustments the entire series that Jimmy Butler was pretty much averaging 40 on us, and I didn't see a single adjustment from game to game. And, you know, I feel like a smart coach would have, double teamed Jimmy Butler at any point. And we never saw that. And I just feel like he's got to be losing the locker room at this point. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but
I think criticisms are fair. I mean, like, you don't have the number one seed and then have leads of 16 and 15 and blow those in the fourth quarter without allowing criticism to the head coach. Like, I think if you want to be critical, you can.
Right. Yeah, right. And, you know, I don't know. I guess if we were to move on, from Bud, I feel like Nick Nurse would be a great option with our roster. But, also just with game to game, they're watching the drop defense, and you're just watching everyone just hit these, like, free throw jumpers uncontested because Brooks just dropping down to the post. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would you not adjust to that? Why just keep letting them get these easy points and do nothing about it? It's just crazy to me.
Appreciate the call.
Makes no sense.
Thank you, Craig and Wanakee. I'm with Ben. You can criticize, and I think there's criticism that's warranted. I also think you have to take the bad with the good. If you're going to criticize him here, you also have to be like, but the guy also built a perennial winner. He built a culture and a team that gets along, that has great chemistry, that builds on each other. He's got a superstar in Giannis who
brought a championship to a city that hadn't been there in 50 freaking years.
So, like, you could say all you want about the series. You could criticize the decisions. I think that's all fair. But I think that when you do that, you have to put it in context of they, as Ben so eloquently said, broke a championship streak in Milwaukee that was 50 years old. 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-ESPN. Alfredo from Verona says one of the most of MJ's quotes talk about his success being because he failed so many times. I mean, he famously is the guy who didn't make the high school team, failed to make his high school team. And he let that failure continue to drive him. Now, again, there's different people, and I think that we're conflating what a failure of a season is versus a failure of a team and a failure of a franchise and a failure of a player. But it's an interesting conversation to have, and it's fascinating to me to hear how players who played ultimately take that. And Chewy said something very similar to you, Ben, when I was with him this morning on Jay Gabe and Chewy, of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Sooner or later, you just got to look at this and be like, what are we doing here?
Big shout out to our friends at Palermo's Pizza. We're going to be joined next by John Leonardo of Palermo's. We'll talk to him about the two pies that we have in front of us. Plus, as Benny mentioned, might break a little news. It is Scalzo and Brust presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Michelob Ultra, official beer of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Bucks fall in five games to the 8th seed, Miami Heat, without Tyler Hero. And the NFL draft starts up in approximately 2 hours. It is Scalzo and Brust. We're hanging out with Palermo's Pizza here. We welcome in John Leonardo of Palermo's. John, our friend, you're a Bears fan. You're based down there in Chicago. Aaron Rodgers wearing the other shade of green yesterday with the New York Jets. How do you take a look at the NFC North coming up this year?
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you. And I apologize that I'm not there in the studio enjoying some great Palermo's Pizza with you guys.
It's so screaming.
Unfortunately,
good,
Hey, I always appreciate that shout out. Unfortunately, I've got coaching duties tonight for baseball. So I'm taking on my second job on top of marketing great Palermo's Pizza by coaching a bunch of kids in baseball and hopefully bringing home a championship. But, yeah, it's tough, right? Because I love the NFL draft, and I've got the conflict of having first baseball practice of the season and obviously got a big interest in this year's draft, a lot of really interesting things going on. You know, you called me out on being a Chicago guy. Yeah, you know, for me, with Aaron Rodgers obviously leaving Green Bay, you know, it gives new hope, I guess, for the entire NFC North division. You know, Bears in particular, you know, Aaron Rodgers has always had their number. I think Detroit's, you know, starting to play better. It's going to be a really interesting draft, I think, overall, to see what all the teams are going to do.
You can have two screens going at practice, you know, maybe a little mobile device while you're, you know, hitting some ground balls.
Well, that's when you tell the kids, hey, grab a ball and just go play catch over there. Me and the other coaches are huddled around. I'm like trying to, you know, figure out like, okay, you know, the Bears are going to pick at 13. What time, you know, is that going to be? You know, good news is practice is over at 8:30. So hopefully I'll be home in time to at least see the, you know, good chunk of the draft tonight.
Now, John, this team, the goal is to win a championship. If you guys end up getting bowing out in the first round of the playoffs and don't win a championship, will you be comfortable calling the season a failure?
Yeah, I've been listening to all that talk, and obviously I watched the game last night, and I just, you know, the thing for me that's interesting is, you know, growing up in Chicago, I was very fortunate to grow up, go to college, be young adult during the Bulls reign in the 90s. And I think, you know, the difference that I see, and I know it's not a fair comparison, right, with Michael Jordan being, you know, arguably the best player to ever play the game, is as a Bulls fan, you always expected them to win. Even if you felt like, okay, their back's against the wall a little bit, you just always had that feeling that, like, Michael's going to figure out a way to elevate the team and they're going to come out on top. Even if he has a game that, you know, I'll use air quotes, was down, or, you know, he was a little bit off, you knew the next game he was going to just come out and bring it, and he usually did. I think that's the difference from what I saw with this year's Bucks team in the playoffs. It's just, you had that great game that I was fortunate to go to, game two, where, you know, they couldn't miss from 3-point range, and, you know, it was really exciting and fun. And then it just, you know, just never felt like it came together.
It really didn't. There's no turning back now for the Milwaukee Bucks as their season ends. But I do want to turn our attention to some delicious pizza, because we now know Surfer Boy pizza availability in June throughout the state of Wisconsin and grocery stores. That is amazing to hear, as I believe is only in Walmart. And then a new facility in Jefferson, Wisconsin this summer, and you're hiring for both Jefferson and Canal. Your location there. Just tell us what you got going on, because, I mean, when you put some screaming Sicilian news on here that I don't know about, I'm interested.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of really good stuff going on. As you noted, Surfer Boy, when we originally launched that, and that was in partnership with Netflix, tying into Stranger Things Season 4, it was an exclusive to Walmart for the first 12 months. That was something that Netflix had worked on. We're fortunate that we are now able to bring that to our other retail partners throughout the state of Wisconsin starting in June. So our sales team has been doing a fantastic job getting out there, talking to our retail partners and getting commitments. So they're gearing up to get on the shelf, working on some promotions to, you know, promote and advertise the brand. So you'll probably see billboards up throughout the area. And I'm sure you guys will be talking about how great of a pizza that is on air. So we're obviously very excited about that. It is a fantastic pizza. It is one of my personal favorites. You know, it's hard to say I've got an absolute favorite, right? It's like, you know, as a father, you know, you love all your kids the same, but some days you love other kids, one of your kids a little better than the other. And you know,
I'm cheating on screaming Sicilian right now. The urban pie thin crust with that sweet potato crust and barbecue chicken and sausage. Like, I'm cheating on screaming right now.
I get it. I mean, it's hard not to, right? I mean, the urban pie brand is fantastic. That's a great pizza that you're eating over there.
I've had the whole thing. It's like, it's amazing.
Actually, the one that I like by Urban Pie is the Urban Pie Pepperoni Rosa is absolutely delicious. The Rosa sauce, it's a combination of marinara red sauce with an Alfredo sauce, so it's pink in color.
Pepperoni Rosa
flavor. You say it a little better than I do, even though I've got the Italian last name.
That is true. John, when are we going to get Brusty in the lab to make up his own flavors on the pizza? Benny, what would be your go-to? Like, if you had to create a pizza from scratch, like the Ben Brust, you know, official screaming Sicilian pizza, what are you throwing on there?
I mean, it's a combination of the Mambo Italiano. I love them all. Where
I'm asking, like, toppings on there.
I mean, I'd have to go, sausage would have to be on there. Maybe I'm a meat lovers guy, so maybe some bacon. We have a mother of meat that I could kind of turn into my own.
Okay.
I mean, let me cook something up in the lab here for a second. I mean, on the spot. I mean, if I'm going to create my pizza, I want to go to the drawing board.
Understandable.
Hey, you know, you guys have an open invite to our office and our R&D facility. We'd love to have you guys out there, create something, share it with your listeners, and maybe we even come up with a little giveaway. Just kind of thinking of something fun we could do.
I love it, John. Well, here's the deal that we need to make is whenever you're ready to make the announcement of the new Screamin' Sicilian, you need to do it here on Scalzo and Brass. Like, we have to have you back to make that announcement for the new Screamin' Sicilian.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're the first guys that I'm coming to for that.
Or we can just announce it now. It's the Ben Brust Pizza!
Oh, Oh, so somebody from my team already spilled the beans is what you're saying.
No, I wish that was it. I wish that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you guys, I can't say enough good stuff about this new Screaming Sicilian pizza that's going to be hitting the shelves. Call it mid-summer. We just are finalizing a few things. It is off the charts great. It's everything you expect from Screaming Sicilian, the premium toppings. It's a lot of toppings. I'll give you the one hint that's different is it is a new crust type for the brand. And something that I think you could really appreciate, Ben, knowing your kind of your preferences that I've gotten to see over the years.
I love it.
I mean, you know I'm eating it.
What a tease, John.
I know.
We look forward to having you back to get that tease paid off and for us to learn about what that new Screaming Sicilian pizza is. We so appreciate the time. Good luck with the Little League practice or the baseball practice tonight, and good luck in the draft.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Like I said, wish I was there eating some pizza, but I think I'll be throwing in a Screaming Thin and Crispy after practice and watching the rest of the draft.
Sounds good. I'll eat your slices for you.
Thanks, John.
I know. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. John Leonardo there from Palermo's Pizza. Huge thanks to him. Huge thanks to Palermo's. The pizza is absolutely delicious. Pick it up the next time you are at the grocery store. We'll swing back and we'll dive into the NFL draft. We'll continue to take your calls as well on Giannis and the Bucks and the way the season ended last night. It is Scalzo and Ross presented by Michelob Ultra.